People know I take classified documents and classified information.
And this is the news, according to me. Good Monday morning. Let's hope this morning that there is a better experience, let's just say, with the live broadcast. I'm doing a live broadcast this morning only because, not because I'm not going to make a usual case of this, doing live broadcast on Monday mornings. Normally, live is going to be on Fridays. And it was brought to my attention last week that the show sounded very strange. In fact, if I can pull it up here, maybe I can pull up the recording, because it was bizarre. Here's what it sounded like. If you can hear this, let's see if I can play this. Apparently that was the show last week. That's what the live show sounded like last week. Now, that's not what it's supposed to sound like, by the way. It sounded like something, some weird stuff. I tried to listen to parts of it, like different parts of it. If you play it backwards, it said other things, but we won't get into that. I'm not sure exactly what happened there. I think I was having problems with my computer. Actually, once in a while it would do that. I know a long time ago, my interface, I had to shut it off and turn it back on again. And I hadn't turned it off and turned it back on again for a long time. Now, my cat does play around in my recording booth because there's no real door on my booth at home so far. Now, I still haven't moved my other, the other booth I have, is it weighs like 300 pounds. And I'm trying to get it, I have to tip it down to get it through the door and I have to roll it back up again. And it's going to involve a lot of leverage. And so I have to figure out a way to get all that done. But anyway, it's still sitting outside. It's still sitting out underneath my, it's not sitting in the weather. It's just sitting outside at the underneath a patio thing. But I have to get it rolled in somehow. Once I get that done, and then I can actually, it's literally a very soundproof booth. I mean, it goes beyond sound resistant. It is, you can go inside that thing and scream at the top of your lungs. Nobody can hear you outside. It's just kind of a little spooky. Because if you're having a problem, if I see a spider, nobody's going to know about it. So it's I'll be screaming like a little schoolgirl in there. And nobody will know. Except for you, because I'll have the microphone on, probably. So this morning, this Monday morning, we're doing a live broadcast that hopefully sounds okay this time. I'm hoping. I don't know. I did some tests. Everything seems to be recording okay. The waveform on the recorder seems to be working fine. So hopefully this is all going to go down, without a glitch this morning. Now, so we're broadcasting live on Podbean, which is, it's what Joe Rogan used to use, I believe. I'm not sure if he still uses Podbean or not. This broadcasts out through Spotify and goes through Apple Podcasts and that whole thing. So it distributes everything for me. And then I post the recording on Castos, which also, puts everything out there as well. Right now, it looks like the signal supposedly looks like it's good and everything is working fine. It says excellent down below and it's got the little sound bar going back and forth and I got a good waveform on the recording. I am recording this as a backup as well. So that's all hopefully going to work fine as well. In the meantime, let's talk about Joe. Last week's show, it was actually a really good show. I mean, it was, I thought I had some of my best material. It was funny. It was a good day. I was enjoying the day. By the way, I'm in the, and right now it is, if you don't know, if you're not watching, listening to this live, it's 9:31 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I am in the worldwide headquarters of the news, according to me, this morning, which explains why the sound quality is top-notch, professional grade, everything you can imagine in a sound broadcast. I don't even have the door open. I don't have the door closed here in the office, and it's, I don't know if you can hear there's one car I just heard go by, but you probably didn't even hear it. So this is the place where it all happens. This is where the real quality comes in. Now I've got a couple of recordings. I had several recordings I wanted to play this morning. One was the, some of the news broadcasters, what they've been saying, the Joy Behar and some of those people. You've probably heard it. If you listen to any news at all, you probably heard it. And I know some of you don't really listen to the news. You listen to what I say about the news, which, you know, it's really, you get the synopsis. You know, you just, that way you don't have to take all the time to listen to all this stuff I listen to. So, interestingly enough, there have been some really good questions. Dan Bongino last week had some really good questions. And my thing is, I've been asking a lot of questions about this whole thing. Something smells really weird about this whole thing. There's something very strange going on here. And I have the feeling that there's a tug of war going on behind the scenes. Now, I don't know what's happening there. I can't tell what's happening there. All I know is this does not seem right to me. Something very strange is going on. And it has the smell of deep state all over it. It also has the strange, you know, the FBI gets involved in things anymore. And I don't know if people actually still trust the FBI or not. I don't. I've lost complete trust in them. Now, the field agents, probably so, yes. But I think the field agents are being used right now as pawns, in my opinion. There are some whistleblowers out there. I'm sure there's some good agents. I'm sure there's some upright, you know, upright guys out there, guys and gals, doing their thing, doing a good job, being honest. Just the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. I'm sure that that's happening, but it's the people in charge. It's the people at the top. What are they doing with this information? You know, they've gathered up, they get information on people, and they hold out and they wait. They don't act on things right away. And I don't know that the FBI has ever been charged with the purpose of collecting, managing, curating classified information. Who at the FBI has a top secret security clearance there? We're going to get into this because there's some questions I have to ask. And the very first question that really comes to mind this morning is, what's in my cup? I brought this from home, actually. I had to drop my dog off at the vet this morning. He's getting some dental work done. A little concerned about him. He's not been very healthy lately. He's been having some little health issues. They think it's because of the tooth thing. But there's also been some breathing issues. I'm not sure, like some sinus issues. So the tooth may have something to do with that. It may not. I don't know. For the last couple of weeks, he's been having some issues. So it's we'll see what happens here. But in the meantime, I brought this from home. It's my chai. And it's got my signature Cinnabon creamer in there. Unfortunately, it's almost empty. This might be a short show. I don't have a backup cup this morning. I do have some water here somewhere. I'm not sure where it's at. I'll have to find my water. At the moment, I don't have anybody listening. I had hoped I could get this show going a little bit earlier. However, the problem was I had to do some recording. I wanted to get this one particular recording done. We'll see how this goes. I'm going to play this entire. I played just a snippet of Joe's speech. You know, his little thing about him. Everybody knows he takes classified documents. Now, the reason that I'm really playing into this story, I know everybody's probably, those of you who are listening to the news at all, you're probably getting both sides of this whole thing. You're probably getting tired of hearing about it. Now, as of last Friday, there was two different locations where things were found. Now, if you listen to the media, they made it sound like they weren't being very clear here. They were making it sound like, well, there was some documents in the Biden's Biden Center for Diplomacy and whatever corruption and whatever it is in the University of Pennsylvania. Or, by the way, Joe Biden was not a professor. He wasn't a professor. They make it sound like he was teaching classes there. when they give you an honorary professorship, an honorary doctorate, or whatever you call it, that doesn't mean you've done any studying whatsoever. You were never a student there. You never did anything there. You just, they give you this honorary, which they probably did give him an honorary doctorate or something there. He didn't achieve a doctorate there. In my opinion, in fact, that belittles everybody who actually went through the discipline of studying, taking classes, sitting through lectures to attain their educational pigskin, as they call it. And this guy has the gall, in my opinion, to call himself a professor. I'm a professor there. Well, if you're a professor, you're a professor everywhere. You're not just a professor there. But this, I digress. So we have a, he gets into the speech. And I'm going to play this entire thing here in a little bit. And then we're going to start asking some questions. Now, this is a prepared speech that Biden gave. He was, in fact, I think he played into, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that Ducey or somebody out there was going to ask him a question when he was giving this. He was giving a speech the other day. And this is what I talked about last week, and I don't think that this is what would have been on a great show. I mean, I did some funny stuff even. It's one of those shows where I kind of like to go back and listen to parts of it because it was so funny. But then I, you know, went back to listen to it, and it was... I think the AI is attacking me. So I ended up, listening to this whole thing and analyzing and listened to it a few times with this speech that he gave. So Ducey comes out and asks these questions. What, you know, you left classified documents next to your, you know, in your garage, next to your car, next to your Corvette. What were you thinking?
Well, first of all, you know, I'll be able to say more about this later on, God willing.
Now, see, he. This is another one of those cases where people start to invoke the name of God again into their thing and their stuff. At the end of this little speech he did, you never hear him say anything about this. Now, he also, they made a big case about him going to Delaware or wherever it was he went home for the weekend and went to Mass. How many times have you heard the news reporting on Joe Biden going to attend Mass since he's been in the last 2 years? How many times have you heard that? Never. They don't talk about that. All of a sudden, they're making this guy out to be, oh, he's a Catholic saint. He's always talking about God and God bless our troops and God bless our nation and protect our troops. God willing. Oh, God bless him. God love him. No joke. You'll hear him start to go down this route now. A lot. Now, there's a lot of questions here, and the statements that are being made do not add up. The whole special counsel thing now that has been appointed by Merrick Garland, very strangely, is it very strange circumstances there too? And it's the whole thing just doesn't make sense to me, and it smells like a rat. Somewhere along, there's two possibilities here. We'll get into that a little bit later when we start talking about questions and all the questions that I have, because there's really no way around this stuff. There's basically, as I see it, there's two options here. Things that possibly could be going on. And I really think that there's a real struggling, wrestling match going on behind the scenes. And this is, at this point, it doesn't surprise me that there is, you know, this chaos under the surface that we can't see necessarily that they're trying to hide. But all you have to do is start asking some questions and you start realizing there's something more going on here. So let's listen to the speech real quick. And this is the speech he gave. Ducey asking these questions, and he, all of a sudden, he pops up with a prepared written statement. He's reading this. Now, he'll repeat himself. This is the whole, remember what I talked about? I talked about it last week, but then you didn't hear that because I talked about it during that. It didn't get recorded. When Biden is speaking, there's these opportunities when he can say things And he tries to make it sound like he's talking off the cuff when he's reading directly from a, in fact, this entire speech, right prior to, just right before this, he's talking about putting out this little speech thing right before this. And as he's speaking, he's looking straight ahead. They only gave him one teleprompter. You really need two in order to make it look serendipitous. You have to look back and forth at the crowd. You have to, they'll look one way and then they'll look the other way. They'll never look straight ahead because there's no teleprompters in front of them. They'll only glance ahead occasionally while they're looking between the two as they're finishing a sentence. If you do it really well. Barack Obama was, by the way, very good at the teleprompter. You could tell he was using one, but he was very good at using it. I mean, it was very obvious he was using one, but he was smooth with it. And most politicians do. However, I have to hand it to Kevin McCarthy. Now, we'll get to talk about him a little bit more at the end of the show. We'll talk about Kevin McCarthy and what's going on with the Republicans in the House. But this is all really interesting stuff. Now, let's listen to this speech. And this is so I'll set it up a little bit again. Sorry about that noise there. I just got an email. So Biden gets done with this little speech and he's about ready to walk off. And of course, the press just erupted with questions. And he let Ducey ask the question. Now, I think he knew because he knew full well what Ducey was going to say. This would set him up with an opportunity to respond with this written statement that was supposed to be read as if it was. Wasn't prepared, but he's obviously looking down, reading this thing, and he's repeating some of the lines. Repeat the line. So it makes it very obvious. So let's listen to this entire speech without me editing things in to make it funny. This is his entire speech here. So here it is.
First, well, let me get rid of the easy one first. People know I take classified documents and classified information seriously. When my lawyers were clearing out my office at the University of Pennsylvania, they set up an office for me, secure office in the Capitol. When I
secure office,
4 years after being vice president, I was a professor at Penn. They found some documents in a box in a locked cabinet, or at least a closet. And as soon as they did, they realized there were several classified documents in that box. And they did what they should have done. They immediately called the archives. Turned them over to the archives, and I was briefed about this discovery and surprised to learn that there were any government records that were taken there to that office. But I don't know what's in the documents. My lawyers have not suggested I ask what documents they were. I've turned over the boxes. They've turned over the boxes to the archives, and we're cooperating fully with the review, and which I hope will be finished soon, and there'll be more detail at that time.
Now, I'm going to break this down. We're going to play it again. I'm going to break it down because there are a lot of things said here that I think we need to understand, the lawyer speak within this stuff. And I think it's very clear. If you listen to it a couple times and you listen to the speech, it sounds like, oh, well, he was just trying to do what's best. He's doing all this stuff. And he had, but this stuff was in a locked area. And then we're going to start asking the questions. When we get done with this, we're going to go through this initially. And then I'm going to list this whole bunch of questions here that I have in my head that I think need to be answered. And then there's some that just, we need answers too, because we need to understand what's going on behind the scenes. And I think that it, as I begin to ask these questions, I think it will become clear to you what's going on. And there's really two different veins. And I think that one of them makes more sense than the other, but we'll just have to see how it plays out, because in the days ahead, there will definitely be an obvious answer to these questions. So we'll see how this goes. So we're going to play this again. I'm going to be pausing it occasionally and just making some comments here. So let's start off.
First, well, let me get rid of the easy one first.
I don't know that he gets. Did he actually answer two questions here? We'll see what happens here.
People know I take classified documents and classified information seriously.
People know. People know. People know that. This is another one of those. These are not the droids you're looking for, kind of thing. This is a gaslighting technique. People know this. If you're not one of those people, then you're stupid. That's what, when somebody says something like that, Well, everybody knows this. Oh, well, I didn't know that. I don't know that you take classified documents seriously. And even if you do take them seriously, if you take them so seriously and you're so careful with them, what were they doing in your closet and in your garage? What's going on here, Joe? Okay, so you take classified documents seriously. Well, all right. We'll discuss this later.
When my lawyers were clearing out my office at the University of Pennsylvania, they set up an office for me.
So his lawyers were cleaning out his office at the University of Pennsylvania. They set up an office for him. Now listen to this. What this next statement is really a flat out lie. It's another thing where he's just, he's a bus driver, he's a truck driver, he's a rodeo clown. He's all these things that I am not. By the way, I'm not a lawyer or a doctor or a financial counselor. I'm not a life coach, epidemiologist, anything like that. A guy with a microphone with a bunch of questions right now today. I've got opinions, but I've also got questions. So let's continue to go on with this thing now. He's going to talk again about, they had this office that they set up for him. For what? What was the reason there, Joe?
Secure office in the Capitol.
Secure office in the Capitol. What? Wait, what? Let's listen to this entire statement again, because it doesn't make sense. Let's go again here.
When my lawyers were clearing out my office at the University of Pennsylvania, they set up an office for me, secure office in the Capitol.
A secure office in the Capitol. Is he talking about the Capitol of Pennsylvania? Is he talking about the Capitol in Washington, D.C.? I'm not sure. Well, let's listen again.
Secure office in the Capitol. The 4 years after being vice president, I was a professor at Penn.
So in the 4 years after being vice president, I was a professor at Penn. First of all, he wasn't a professor. He gave one speech a year, for which he received about $1 million a year, my way I understand it. Now, when this Penn-Biden Center for Diplomacy and Corruption got into place, when it was put into place, all of a sudden, Chinese money started flowing into this college. The CCP started investing all kinds of money through the Penn-Biden Center for Diplomacy and whatever else it was, and classified documents, apparently. So we'll get into this again.
They found some documents in a box.
So his lawyers found some documents in a box. So they're going through these boxes. The lawyers are being paid $1,200 an hour, and they're going through his boxes. In a locked cabinet. Well, let's clarify that even further. In a locked cabinet.
Or at least a closet.
At least a closet. Which was it? Not that it really matters, but details matter in this kind of situation.
And as soon as they did, they realized there were several classified documents in that box.
In that box. So in that box, there were classified documents. So they were going through the boxes. Now, the question I have is, why were they moving these boxes? Another question. Where were these boxes before the Penn-Biden Center opened? Because guess what? The Penn-Biden Center didn't open until about a year and a half after Biden left office as vice president, by the way, who had no security clearance. So where were these documents in between times? How'd they get there? We'll get into this a little bit later. These are all some of the questions I have about this stuff. So they find these boxes, and within these boxes, they find some classified documents.
And they did what they should have done.
They called the National Archives.
They immediately called the archives.
So he's repeating the line. They told him to repeat that line. They immediately called the archives because, he's not obstructing anything. Unlike President Trump, who had documents in a locked facility where the FBI and National Archives approved the documents to be stored. By the way, they knew the documents were there. It was a matter not whether they were in negotiations and going through legal proceedings as to whether or not Trump was allowed to keep them or not. They knew they were there. They knew where they were, and they were in a locked facility. They made it, when they went to do this raid on his house, they made it look like they were just strewn everywhere. They just came in, and they're the ones who did the strewning. The FBI came in and put them all over the place and made it look like, oh, look, he's got it mixed in with all kinds of others. This is just a storage facility with all kinds of papers and documents in there. And there were no nuclear codes, by the way. That was all a CNN hoax. Oh, he's got nuclear codes in there. Laying on his bedstand. Keeping him in Melania's underwear or whatever. They went through her, by the way, they went through her closet. They went through Barron's room. They never found anything other than what was in that. I guarantee you, if they had found something stashed somewhere else, they would have let us know about it. They didn't find anything. So let's go on to see what more he says here.
Turn them over to the archives. And I was briefed about this discovery and surprised to learn that there were any government records that were taken there to that office.
So he's surprised to know that there were any government records taken to that office. Well, gee, Joe, that you must not have spent a whole lot of time there then. And why would you have those records there? Why would you even have any records there? Why exactly do you need government, any kind of records there at all? Why do you need a closet? How many other professors who speak once a year have closets in the facility there? It's weird. This is just weird stuff. Why are they keeping documents there? So people can check things out and look at things and read things that, about Joe Biden? No, they're storing things there. It's weird.
But I don't know what's in the documents. My lawyers have not suggested I ask what documents they were.
Now, does Joe know what documents they are? He's saying his lawyers have told him, don't even ask what's here. You shouldn't know what's even here. Okay, so now he has plausible deniability to say, I don't know what's in those documents. I don't know. I have no idea. My lawyers didn't tell me that all they said was classified and I can't. Why not, Joe? Aren't you the president now? Don't you have top security clearance now? So you can't know what's in a top secret document now? This is just bizarre stuff. Bizarre, but the lawyers can know. The lawyers apparently know. Apparently they have top secret clearance now. What?
I've turned over the boxes. They've turned over the boxes to the archives.
They've turned over the boxes to the archives. Somebody's turned them over to the archives.
And we're cooperating fully.
Cooperating
fully with the review, and which I hope will be finished soon. And
a review.
More detail at that time.
So this is after the first box has been discovered. It all sounds plausible that maybe somebody in the rush to get out. Now, they did blame this on Trump, by the way. They blamed it on Trump because, well, we weren't expecting to have to get out so soon because we didn't expect Trump to win. And then all of a sudden, we have to get all this stuff out of there and we had to move all this stuff out. And it was in a rush to get out of there because, Trump was coming in. And in the haste of getting everything out, we apparently accidentally had some things moved there that shouldn't have been moved there. A year and a half after, he left. So it took him a year and a half. Truck that went, apparently the slowest, apparently it was on a donkey. It was a very slow-moving vehicle, moving them from one location to another. Now, there is something called a chain of custody within classified documents. Eyes-only stuff, and there's so many different classifications of, confidential, top secret, top level clearance, eyes only, SCIF only, stuff like that. Which again, this comes back to who exactly starts the process of a document becoming classified? When does information become classified? What is the whole chain of events that happen? So So an agent, say a CIA agent, goes overseas and finds out something and discovers some information about something, about some other country. They put this into a report. That report then goes where? Then what? You know, it's classified at that point, I assume, through some kind of organization. Somebody who has clearance to do such a thing. Now, something I discovered that I hadn't even thought about, but Ratcliffe, whatever his name is, former NIA director, was National Intelligence Administration director. He was on. He said, you know, many times these classified documents, they do make copies of these, and they get passed out to different people. Depending on the classification, individuals can receive. There might be 24 different copies of a particular classified document floating around out there at any given time. I was unaware of that. You know, you just, the logistics of some of this stuff you don't even think about until you start to put it together. Well, yeah, I guess it is possible for those documents to be copied and distributed to different individuals who need to know on a need-to-know basis. Now, a SCIF is not that way at all. They will have one document that you can go in and look at where you have to have clearance to go in and look at that document, and then you can't take it with you. It's a very secure area. You can't take your phone, can't take pictures, cameras, anything else. You can just go in and read it, look at it, whatever it is, and then you have to walk out. But someone is curating this information. In other words, somebody knows what's in that document. Somebody had to type that document. These documents don't just appear. They're just, manifest out of thin air. So there are all these people who have top secret clearance behind the scenes that are working with this stuff. This is an incredible amount of power when you think about it. This is an incredible amount of ability to manipulate behind the scenes. Who keeps these people accountable? That's my question. What kind of accountability is there with these people? And what kind of information are they feeding people who they think this is classified information? Because it'd be very easy for some of these organizations to pull the wool over the eyes of those who are they're giving accountability to. Very easy, in my opinion. It's just way too easy, in fact. Now, that being said, these organizations become incredibly powerful. The problem with all of this is, now, shortly thereafter, in fact, we know that even at the time that Biden was giving this little speech, I'll turn that off so you don't listen to that anymore. The time that Biden was giving this little speech, I believe the day or two before that, because Merrick Garland came out later in the day after Biden made this statement. How convenient. Again, political theater. Merrick Garland comes out and appoints, lets us know that a special counsel has been appointed. Now, the problem with a special counsel is this. One, the guy was getting ready to retire. So he opens up this special counsel, or appoints this special counsel, who was only there for a couple months. Now, come to find out, this stuff was back in November, by the way. Merrick Garland says it was November 4th that the National Archives were informed. The timeline that we heard from before this was that this actually happened on November 2nd. These documents were discovered. Now, interestingly enough, it would be very plausible to think that, okay, maybe something got, accidentally put into a box when records were being moved out of the White House, and somehow that box ended up in a storage facility at the Penn Biden Center for Diplomacy and Corruption and Nefarious Hair Sniffing. So this happens, and it's plausible to think that maybe an accident took place with some classified documents. Now, we don't know what was in the classified documents. The rumor has it, and this is rumor. Again, this is not speculation. Now, CNN came out with this emphatic, it was nuclear codes, it was nuclear secrets. Like how to spell nuclear. Nuclear.
Nuclear.
So it comes out with this stuff. Well, that's plausible. And of course, Joy Behar on The View and everything else that she's on. They come out. She comes out and says, "Well, you know, with Trump, he's a liar and a thief. So we knew he was doing something wrong. With Biden, he's not a liar and a thief. So we have to give him the benefit of the doubt." That's how blind these people are. And they start trying to compare the similarities. Oh, it's not. This is nothing like what Trump did. Nothing at all like what Trump did. Well, actually, no. It's nothing like what Trump did. Trump didn't have classified documents accidentally stuck in some closet somewhere in his Trump Tower in Chicago. What? He had them in a locked facility where they knew where they were. It was nothing but a squabble going on about whether or not he should be able to retain them or not. Now, the actual theory is here, I think it's a theory more than anything, it's the rumor and the theory, is that he has documents on Crossfire Hurricane, which was the whole spy thing. And he's planning on using these if he can get back into office or at some point using this information. Now, it's interesting that Kevin McCarthy has actually come out pretty strong, surprisingly enough. I think that some people that Kevin McCarthy respects or that he looks up to or that he's following for guidance have put forth this idea that, hey, Trump is not just a wacko here. He's not just talking out of the side of his mouth. This is actual stuff that happened. Kevin Nunes and some other people in Washington know full well what happened behind the scenes. I think Ratliff is one of them. Know full well what happened here with this whole Crossfire Hurricane thing. This was the whole deal with the Christopher Steele document, the Russiagate, Hillary Clinton campaign involved, paid for stuff, this Russia thing that was the basis for impeachments. And this is why Kevin McCarthy is actually saying they're going to make an attempt to expunge the impeachments from the House. Nancy Pelosi will spin because guess what? That was the one thing she loved about the whole thing. He's been impeached and he will always be impeached. He's always forever be impeached. Well, not if they expunge it. I don't think she saw that coming. They're going to reverse that decision. She'll be infuriated by that. Now the question is, will they go after Joe Biden on this? And this is where it gets hairy. Because here we go. We have this, okay, so we have this situation where these documents show up there. Now, the problem is, there were other documents in another location. Now, all of a sudden, it becomes not an issue of, well, it was just one accident. No, now there's two. Now, the strange thing about this is they make it sound like, well, there was some in the garage and there was also some in the home. Guess what? The difference between the garage and the home, it was a different house. It was a different location. In fact, I think it was a different state. This home that they're talking about was a home that Hunter Biden was using as a crash pad for a long time. In fact, he used it as his home address when he got a license. Now, he was either lying, he got his driver's license renewed, or he was actually living there. Question is, where was his mailing address? It was probably that home, which means he had access to it. He and his brother, who has since passed away, had the Corvette engine rebuilt for him for Christmas, supposedly. Right there next to where the classified documents are. I don't know what kind of security clearance his son has. Now, what's weird about all this is in the midst of this, Joe is saying, well, the facility was locked. It was a locked facility. Very secure. It was a secure closet. It was a locked closet. It was a locked garage. Even though we've seen video of him out driving around, his garage door is wide open. Did you know that they were there or not? Is that why you kept the garage locked? Because you knew there's documents in there? I mean, the documents that Trump had were in a locked facility for documents. And they knew the documents were in there. You're saying he didn't even know the documents were there. Well, how did they get there, Joe? Who put them in your garage? Who else had access to you? Who's walking around with documents putting them in your garage? By the way, I don't keep my, you know, I've got some important papers at my home. Things like, you know, my deed, you know, my title for my cars and all the things that I've got. I don't keep those in my garage, by the way. I have them in a fireproof safe. And I only have one home to keep things in. I don't stash things in different homes all over the place. Did Joe put those things there, or did somebody else put those things there? They need to figure this out. Now, there's going to be a review. Now, there was this damage assessment that they had to do on Trump's stuff to find out who's had access to this stuff and who all's, you know, who potentially, you know, sources and methods. And that was Joe's big concern. I'm not going to play that audio of Joe talking about how irresponsible this was how could he be so irresponsible? You know, could have exposed sources and methods. And here we are with Joe, much more possibility of him exposing sources and methods. We don't know who's had access to this stuff. And now we find out there was another location. From what I understand, there are actually four locations or four different places where these, I think two of them were in his home. One of them was in this garage in another house. And then, of course, the stuff at the Penn Biden Center. There's a lot of questions here, folks. My very first question when this came about, was this question right here. How did this ever get to the point where it saw the light of day? Who ended up putting this story out there publicly? How in the world did that ever happen? This is the kind of thing they love to sweep under the rug. How did this story ever even see the light of day? What is going on here? This is very strange. Now, the way I see it, this is how it happened. Initially, somebody found these documents. Somebody was going through maybe they're going to move stuff out of that facility because Joe is no longer going to be speaking because now he's the president. He's not the vice president anymore. He's not unemployed anymore. So they're going to pull this stuff out. They're going to, you know, change this whole, they're going to use this closet for something else. Storing, you know, Chinese yen or something. I don't know. Who knows what? And in the process of doing this, you know, some flunky, I'm not going to say flunky, but I mean, you know what I mean? Just some common folk were going through the stuff and moving stuff around. Some aides or whatever they were. Administrative assistants, whoever they were. Some college kids, probably. And they open up these boxes and, hey, there's top secret stuff in here. It says top secret on it. And then the lawyers were called and the lawyers came in. And then what we're told is the lawyers were moving the stuff around. Because, you know, everybody hires a lawyer to come in and move their documents around. It's, what? Do you know that they're top secret documents in there? That's why you got lawyers moving them around? Why do you have lawyers moving stuff around? That just doesn't make any sense. Lawyers don't do that. I'm going to call my lawyer this afternoon and have him come over and move some stuff out of my closet. There's nothing in there. Nothing to see. I just want the lawyer to come over and move stuff out of my closet. This just seems strange to me. Does it seem strange to you that they would play it out like that? We know it didn't happen that way. Somebody else was moving this stuff around. Somebody called somebody at the administration. And he said, send over the lawyers. Lawyers came. This is just, keep in mind, remember when the FBI got involved with the Nancy Pelosi break-in with Paul Pelosi? We heard from the local police. They put out a statement, which was retracted immediately. All of a sudden, they scrubbed that one. The FBI shows up, and they have a whole different story, a whole different timeline. And they wouldn't release the body cam footage. This is just SOP for the FBI. They come in, they decide on the narrative, and they tell you what they're, you know, tell you how it's going to be. I'm getting tired of that stuff. That's getting really old really fast. That is their MO. That's the way they operate. So, And then again, why did the FBI get involved in raiding the president's home to get classified documents? Who exactly at the FBI has top secret nuclear code classification security clearance? And all of a sudden it's going to be in their custody now. And we're supposed to trust them with that. These same people who had a Steele dossier, who were texting each other saying that Trump wasn't going to win and we have an insurance policy. These are the people who are running the show over there, who launched an investigation on a presidential candidate and then president continued the investigation. These are the people we're supposed to trust. So these documents are floating around out there now. Now, here's the question. How in the world did somebody let this out in the public? And who is actually going through all of Biden's stuff? His aides, we're being told. His aides are going through his documents at home. Oh, we found some more stuff. Oh, look, we found some more stuff over here. What's going on here? Shouldn't the raid be happening now at this point? If the FBI has some kind of authority to do such a thing, aren't they the ones that, shouldn't this be now become a crime scene? And shouldn't this? So all of a sudden, Merrick Garland comes out and announces hours after Joe makes his statement, comes out and makes the statement, we're appointing a special counsel. First guy who was available, who happened to be retiring soon. So that bought them some time so that they could end up getting somebody else. Now they found somebody else to take over the position. So the position now is being taken over by another guy. They're very highly experienced individuals until you start looking into the experience that they have and the ties that they have with other individuals, other organizations, things that they've worked for before. And you start realizing, oh, this is all part of the lawyer cabal that's tied to Hillary Clinton and many of the others who've always been. It's always the same little circle of individuals who seem to kind of work on this stuff. So the special counsel comes out. And now they're working now. This provides cover. Now, you can look at this two different ways. One is now here, and here's the statements that you're being heard that are being. But this is on both sides of the aisle now. The Democrats now are saying, even the news media is losing because of the multiple places where top secret documents have come out, and they're the ones who made the big deal about this top secret document. So they're the ones who really laid into this whole thing because Trump, Orange Man, bad. Oh, he's got top secret. By the way, he had top secret clearance when he was the president. But now he's not the president, and all of a sudden, he's unable to have any kind of top secret clearance now. Which, you know, by the way, Biden was not the president at the time he had these top secret documents. Now, that's not saying he wasn't allowed to have them, but they didn't have some kind of security clearance to have those documents. That is very possible. Secretary of State may have had it. Who knows how many people had the documents? Or whether they had, but the question is, if he knew that there were documents there, and now all of a sudden he's not allowed to even know what those documents were, because I think they're trying to suggest that he has plausible deniability. Somehow those documents got moved there by somebody else and he didn't know anything about it. That's the defense that the lawyers are trying to set up here. Now, here's the problem with all this. How many people have access to his home? This is kind of like the whole thing with the leak from the Supreme Court. We still haven't found out yet because they're doing their own internal investigation, which should not be happening, by the way. There are some things that need total and complete transparency, and one of those things is who's leaking information at the Supreme Court? Who's endangering the lives of justices at the Supreme Court? Because that's what happened there. There were political motives there. Partisanship. Now, somebody has been dismissed. Somebody actually retired. But, oh, that was, you know, we knew he was going to retire. All right, whatever. Somebody needs to be held accountable for this. But I don't think we'll ever see that. Now, all of a sudden, so the Republicans win the House, and they start to establish, and Jim Jordan becomes the head of a council who's going to go after the weaponization of federal government. They're going to look into some of this stuff that's been happening with the Justice Department. And all of a sudden, one of two things has happened here. Now, if you notice, every time Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP, because she's a hip-hop artist, apparently has now has cover of, oh, we know we're working with the system. We're working with the system. Every time she gets asked a question, the answer always is, well, you know, it's under investigation, and I would refer you to the Justice Department for those questions. Well, we're asking you. What did you know? Well, you have to refer to the Justice Department. No, you personally. What did you know? When did you know all this stuff was happening? Well, I have to go to the Justice Department. Well, they don't know when you knew. This is the kind of stuff that's going on right now. So one of two things is happening here, in my opinion. One is either Merrick Garland has come up with a special counsel to protect Joe Biden, provide for him some kind of shield that he can hide behind and say, well, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't. It's just like what the FBI does. Well, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't comment, make any comments. Well, it's an internal personnel matter. We can't talk about that. What exactly can you talk about? Because you work for the people, and the people deserve answers in this situation. What the heck is going on over there? So we have that. That's one possibility. But who is finding this stuff? Who is, if it is being planted, which I don't think it is, I think this stuff was there because I think it does involve some of the interesting information. Now, is this stuff that was already in the archives? It was just a copy of something that was in the archives? And why hasn't the archive librarian sigged the FBI on this guy? Because you can't indict a sitting president. Now, the problem here is the news media is tripping over themselves, trying to explain why this is so different than what Trump did. Well, it is very different than what Trump did. This is irresponsibility and negligence at its core. This is the definition of irresponsibility. Oh, sorry, I accidentally had top secret classified documents. Well, I only had 20 of them, and Trump had 135 of them. Quantity doesn't matter. Well, I only had one picture of a nuclear submarine inside. I didn't take five pictures of a nuclear submarine. No, that guy went to jail. That guy went to the brig. Hillary Clinton, Benghazi. Well, only two Navy SEALs and one ambassador got killed. At this point, what difference does it make? We need to get the guy with that video. So, that's one plausible theory here. That Garland is trying to somehow protect and make it look like he's giving equal justice under the law here. Because, well, you know, I appointed a special counsel for Trump, and I'm also going to appoint a special counsel for Biden. Now, we'll find out here soon if they look into this and say, well, no, it was just all an accident. It's all, you know, he didn't know those things were there. It wasn't, you know, this was just a common mistake, just somebody, you know, moving stuff around. Now, the fact that it's multiple locations and very different locations seems a little interesting to me. Like somebody knew these things were there, or they put those things there. Whatever happened, I don't know. But the fact that there's multiple locations makes it look like it is total incompetence and irresponsibility on the part of Joe Biden. Something that there's something called a chain of command, chain of custody here. Who had custody of these documents? Who else did Joe allow to handle them? Because that's really where the questions lie, really, in terms of, you know, what's going on here. Now, this is the other possibility. The deep state wants Joe to go away. They're pushing for a resignation from Joe. They're setting him up. They're making it so that even the news media cannot defend this guy. And they can't now at this point. One of the weird statements that's coming out right now is, well, this really trips up the Merrick Garland case because now he can't really go after Trump. Makes it difficult, even though they're very different cases. They're very different here. But it makes it very difficult now for Merrick Garland to come out and indict Trump because, you know, Joe basically did the same thing. But they're different, very, very different. But it makes it very difficult now for Merrick Garland to make. Why should it? Because of public opinion? Public opinion should not play into this at all. If Donald Trump did something wrong and he broke the law, then why does what Biden has done change that? It doesn't change that at all. No, the problem is you were hyping up some kind of false charges against Trump. And now because, well, this has the public appearance of the same thing, it looks very similar, we can't really go after Trump now because, well, with them we would have to go after Biden. And we're not going to go after Biden, so therefore we really have to excuse Trump at this point. That's what they're saying in this. In other words, justice isn't blind. What? That's what they're saying. It doesn't make any sense either. Now, that's one case right there. So this idea that they're trying to protect Biden, the other side of it is that they're trying to push Biden out. They at least don't want him to say he's running again. He's just about to come out and say whether or not he's running again and announce his, you know, his campaign to run again. And it sounded like he was going to. This, I think, will eliminate him from the possibility of at least announcing. But in my opinion, I think they want him out of here. Now, I'm surprised he's lasted as long as he has. I know, I was making these predictions that he was going to be, you know, brain dead by the end of last year. And obviously he is, but he's somehow, they're allowing him to stay in there. They're covering for him this entire time. Keeping him juiced up on whatever it is he's doing, and he's still bumbling and stumbling around, but they're just allowing it to continue on. Until now. They had to get the midterms out of the way, and obviously this stuff happened. This information came out on the first document. Exposure came out before the midterm election, and they hid it until afterwards. Now here it comes. All of a sudden, the Republicans are sworn in, and oops, looky here. Look what we have here. I found these documents. What is going on here? There is a power play behind the scenes that we are woefully unaware of, in my opinion. There are things happening here every day, stuff happening in 24/7 that are going on behind the scenes. Somebody is in a power play for what's happening here. We can only surmise and speculate on who these people are. I have some ideas, but it's all speculation at this point. Now, having said that, it will be interesting to see how it all pans out. Either one of two things is going to happen here. The special counsel is going to say, oh, yep, we're absolving Biden of all responsibility on this. It's not, he's squeaky clean. Squeaky clean. He had nothing to do with it. He made some mistakes, just like what they did with Hillary Clinton. They came out with Hillary Clinton. James Comey got in front of everybody and announced all the things she did wrong. He went before Congress and admitted that she, well, nope. Did she only have one server like she said? No, she had multiple servers. She had multiple equipment, multiple devices. But no reasonable prosecutor we go after. Basically just saying that all of a sudden it was, but it was excusable. She had no intent. It was all okay. Yeah, she did all that stuff. She said she didn't, but she did. But she didn't break the law. And she didn't really mean to break the law. So it was okay. He basically admitted this laundry list of things, but no reasonable prosecutor would go after her. So I think that's what we're going to see here with this. If they get their way, I think there are people who will say this. Now, they obviously don't want Trump to be in there. But they don't want Joe Biden to continue on what he's doing at this point. So this is what's happening. I think we will find out here in the next things that start to unfold will be either Joe is going to resign, step down, he will be impeached, and the Democrats will actually turn on him, or he will be absolved of all responsibility, and we will find out how just squeaky clean Joe is. No corruption, not a smidgen of corruption over there from Joe. If that word even comes up, we know who said who's behind the scenes. I think that's where we're at this point. We know that this is all going to play out. We're going to find out soon, I think within the next month or so, how this is all going to play out. They're either going to absolve Biden so that they can continue to go after Trump, which I don't think that's the case here. That's one possibility, but I think I'm leaning towards 60%. I'm leaning towards 60-40 here. This is an attempt to get Joe to resign. They want to get him out of there. And there are some very powerful people behind the scenes who are making moves right now to put themselves in the position of being next in line so the administration will line up with what they want it to be in the middle of this whole thing. That's my opinion. As all this stuff starts to get worked out. Because who knows, the next person who gets put in may not like Merrick Garland. They may appoint a different AG. How many different AGs did Trump have? He could fire. Whoever steps in could fire Garland. Could be Kamala Harris. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? I think that we're going to see some interesting things unfold over the next few months. As we get into the campaign season of springtime. So I think by spring, some new things will unfold. By the way, they're talking more money for Ukraine, of course, without any accountability whatsoever. Kevin McCarthy has come out and made some interesting statements, and I'm giving the guy the benefit of the doubt at this point. If I think something has happened with Kevin, either he's playing the field, he's playing the scene to try to placate individuals and making deals behind the scenes, or he's just the same old snake making promises, and who knows whether he's going to really come through with this stuff or not. I don't know. I don't trust the guy. I still don't trust the guy. I'm cautiously optimistic that maybe we're going to get some things done. Maybe he's, you know, being pressured to do the right thing here. Maybe he's seen the light. Maybe he actually has some convictions on this stuff. He still talks like Kevin Trudeau. Or what is the guy's name? Trudeau. Is that his name? No. Who's the Prime Minister of Canada, right? Is it Kevin Trudeau? Okay, that could be Kevin. His name's not Kevin. Trudeau. Whatever. Justin Trudeau. Yeah, that's it. Kevin Trudeau. Kevin Trudeau's another guy. I've never met a Kevin that I didn't like. There was one Kevin I didn't like too well. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I've got to say about that. So that was the show. The show last week had a lot more humor in it. I had a few more clips of some things. I should probably just try to. I don't want to go back and try to redo a show and make it. The magic just isn't there when you try to redo something. So I'm not going to do that. Tomorrow morning will probably be a recorded show. Tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning probably will be a normal show. Thursday morning is going to be interesting because I'm going to be in, I'm going to be someplace in, is it Tennessee or Kentucky? I can't remember where I'm going to be. I'm not even sure what time my day starts, but I'm going to try to have a show. Friday morning, however, will be another live show. So Friday morning will be a live show. I think the Friday after that might be a live show as well. I'm not, I think every morning, every Friday morning this month, I can have live shows. So that's what's going to happen. God bless, folks. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. God bless. Pray for our leaders.